Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Joining us right now is the lovely Noelle Neal. You all remember her as beautiful Lois Lane on The Adventures of Superman. And for people like me, we grew up looking at you and going, wow, look at her.
Ooh. Hey, how about that?
Wow. You did a ton of stuff. I mean, a lot of people remember you for the TV show, obviously, but you were in close to 90 movies, weren't you?
Yes, right.
What was the last movie you did?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Let's see. Last movie I did. Oh, gosh. I'll have to go to the book and read it. It's been a while because we had a sort of a contract with the Superman series that kept us vaguely on a string.
Really?
They'd have a two-year thing. We'd do 26 chapters, and then we each had a two-year contract that they could call us back within the 2 years. So it was pretty hard to do, you know, anything too much. Plus, I guess I'd been working so much doing westerns and everything that it didn't really matter. Probably the last one might have been the one in Florida, the big, oh gosh, I can't think of the name of it. But anyway, I can't remember any movie that I did last. Like I was doing Lois Lane forever.
Yeah. Hey, didn't you do a couple of Superman movies in the 70s, too?
I did. I played the mother of a little Lois Lane in the first movie that Christopher Reeve did.
Right.
Number one.
Yeah.
On the train sequence with the young Superboy running through the whatever. And but no, that was the only Superman movie. Although Jack and I did a one show with Gerard Christopher called Superboy. Now that show, I think, was only on, it seemed like, about 1 year.
Yeah.
It just disappeared.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned Jack because he's a great guy. Jack Larson.
Oh yeah.
Played, of course, Jimmy Olsen. And Jack has been on our show a couple of times. He's a fine gentleman.
Oh,
and
yes.
A real nice guy.
We're such good friends, and he lives quite close to me, and we keep track of each other and call each other, and things come up or what to do.
Well, you can tell him Mark Snyder said hi to him.
Oh, I will.
He's a good guy.
He's nice.
Now, tell us a little bit about working on the set. I mean, I look at these pictures, and I remember the show. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a kid when it was on, but I remember it distinctly. And it seemed to me like there was a chemistry between you and Superman, you and George. How did you guys get along? What was the relationship like?
We got along just fine. I mean, we didn't have a relationship because, as I used to tell the kids when I do college tours, they always say, "Well, how about you and George Reeves? Did you ever, you know, just come right out with it?" And I said, "No. He had a lady friend who was bigger than I and richer than I." So that took care of everything. And it's the truth. And we were just friends. But as Jack says now, he thinks that maybe why people still remember this show or like to talk about it and they have good feelings for it is that we all were had a good communication, all the four of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we were a real family, which is what it was.
But it's interesting to note that I didn't realize that there was like a Superman before that, that they did like, it was like a serial.
Well, I did a series
for
movie theaters, I call them cliffhangers, of course, which they were, with Kirk Allen as Superman.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Those were on first.
So that was, yeah, those were on first, and right. Obviously the popularity of those probably presented the opportunity for the TV show.
Well, I often wonder just how it all happened. Of course, we don't know because the producer that whatever did the first 26 and then got removed was, it was all back in New York stuff. I mean, out here you don't know what's going on back there,
mm-hmm.
at least in those days. And we were doing the serials with Kirk Allen for Columbia Studios or Sam Katzman. And we just didn't even know they were going to make us a series, and all of a sudden it was on or made, and Kirk was very, very distressed about not being asked, you know, to play or even try to do a series.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing ever happened. I mean, none of the group from the ones I did with Kirk were in any of the shows except me.
What happened with Kirk Allen? Whatever happened to him?
Oh, he passed away. He couldn't get a job because he was typed, and he did a lot of Western and conventions, I guess you would choose to call them.
Yeah.
And he was very busy doing
did
that.
Did he die young?
He married, and no, he was in his late 80s.
Oh, really?
Yes, his Alzheimer's.
Oh, and, that's sad.
But he was a nice person. We got along just fine. Of course, doing serials, you didn't really get much. It was mostly men in action stuff and,
yeah.
you know, whatever. As I used to say, when I did Westerns, people always would ask about the leading men, and some I never even met when, you know, I did a show with them, supposedly. And I said, well, the thing with being a woman in the Westerns, you get a few pages of script or maybe a few lines from your agent, go to the studio, get a Western dress and a bonnet, kiss the horse and go home.
But
they were fun.
I mean, you started in dance and then you kind of went into singing and
mm-hmm.
then acting. There's a great picture in here with you and a young Bing Crosby.
Oh.
Tell us about your relationship with him.
Well, I had met Bing when I went down to Del Mar to sing with the band at the racetrack, which he owned. And it was kind of a fluke. Neighbors of mine and my mother's little apartment we had in Hollywood when we first came out. And he was the head of music at CBS. And he said, hey, Noah, your mother said you sang with a band in high school. I said, oh, my gosh. You know, really? But he said, we're having a call for a girl singer with a band to sing at Del Mar. So he said, come on by an interview. He said, I'll fix it up for you. And I said, oh, gee, you know. But anyway, I did and got the job. So now we went to Del Mar for the season. And it was fun. They would have the Turf Club every weekend. They would have music, dinner, dancing for people that belonged to the Turf Club who either were, you know, had a lot of money or owned horses or whatever. And so that's naturally where I met Bing. And I met his wife, Dixie, who was at a home down there and had the four boys. And she was so nice, a wonderful person. And anyway, that's where I first met him. And then, of course, everybody at those parties would be in showbiz, and you'd eventually meet somebody. And I got a job at Paramount in the Henry Aldrich series.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first job. And then I did go under contract to Paramount for 4 years after that.
Now, they paid you, what did they pay at contract at that time?
$75 a week.
$75 a week. That was a lot of money back then, right?
Well, it was fine, you know, enough to get a new pair of shoes once in a while. No, it was fine. It was some.
But I mean, but when you were on contract, mm-hmm. When you did a film, did you get extra money for doing the film, or was that just...
No, they got... just a minute. Hold it. The surveyor just came.
Hi there. Come on in for a minute. I'm just doing an interview on the phone.
Hello?
Hold on. Hi. I was saying a surveyor just came over.
Right in the middle of a radio interview with 9 million listeners around the country.
Right. That's what I told him.
So we have an interruption for surveyors. Okay. Anyway,
about Bing that I must tell you, when I was under contract to Paramount, I used to walk around the sets, do other shows and whatever they wanted to put you in. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I heard this behind me, Noel, and I thought, who in the world is that? And I turned around, it was Bing on a bicycle, because the big heads had bicycles, around the whatever, and the ride around, and he said, hi, Noel. He said, how's everything going? And I said, oh, just fine, thank you. And he said, well, if anybody makes any trouble for you or, makes a move on you, he said, you just call Ernie, my brother, who's the agent that I had met, too. Uh-huh. He said, well, take care of everything. So bless his heart, he was some...
He was a good man.
Yes, he was a wonderful person. Right?
Yeah, now it's so interesting, nice. The kind of things that came out after he passed away with his family. A lot of negative stuff written about him, too.
Well, I was sort of unfortunate because Dixie, his first wife, was a big star in her days. And she met Bing, I don't know where or how, but he was just singing with a band group and, was really doing nothing. But whatever, they fell in love and got married, and she furthered his career. And for that, he bought a house down near the racetrack, and I would say buried her down there with the four boys. And that was, and he stayed up here. So that's probably what a lot of the stuff was about.
You were paying $75 a week to be, with the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you didn't get extra for a movie. Say you made a movie, you didn't get an extra money for that?
They just call them loan outs. And if you were under contract, they were very happy to have you do another movie or something or a Western off. And then they would get the money, double. It would double your salary, but, we didn't see any part of that. But, that was okay. That's, part of the business.
Now, I'm looking at you, pictures of you, obviously a beautiful, beautiful woman.
Oh, and, thank you.
And when you were 28 years old in 1948, the series was completed of the teenager series, and you actually did, in that 12 months, the next 12 months, 15 films.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you would do a few days. Some of the films I was not even, as they say, credited. As far as in the, but that was okay. We got paid.
Right. Well, paid you $75, though, right?
Well, more than that. Once I was out of Paramount, then I was on my own, so to speak, monetarily. And so the agent would, dicker for more money, naturally.
Yeah.
So, but they kept me busy.
So, I mean, when you're making 15 films at age 28, what kind of money are you making a year doing that?
Oh, boy. Not very much. I would have to look that up. I don't have a memory that far back. And
but maybe $10,000 or $15,000 a year or something?
Maybe that would be the most, yes.
Yeah, I mean, so
because I can tell from my pension, your pension with the guild depends on what you made.
Right.
Do you ever look at
the salaries that some of these actresses are getting nowadays, where they're getting $1 million, $2 million, $10 million a film, and go, wow, was I born at the wrong time or what?
Yeah, well, sure, of course you do, but as we say, that's show business, and that was, we were doing it years ago, and what we made, and considering the price of everything, it was fine.
Yeah.
You have to remember that everything was smaller in those days, too, the rents and the food and going out and cars and everything was relative. So,
were you married during your lifetime?
Yes, I was married twice.
Any children?
No.
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 I was wondering if you had any prodigy that might be following in your footsteps.
Oh, dear, no. No.
Did you marry people from showbiz?
No. No, and all my friends were non-show business. I just, even now when people say, oh, golly, whatever happened to so-and-so and this, that, and I say, well, I haven't any idea because I never... socialize with them. I just didn't I won't say I didn't like them, but I just wasn't my bag.
I understand.
And I was married, and we had friends, and everybody was going to the beach and stuff, and so it was a nice life.
How did you keep in such incredible shape? You had an amazing figure. I assume that it was through dance and stuff? Or?
Well, no, I had, of course, danced a lot when I was young, you know, dancing classes that all young ladies have to go to. And I just happened to be athletic, and I liked to play golf and volleyball at the beach, which is a good exercise in the sand. And so I just kept in shape all these years. But I keep telling the kids, I said, well, you see, you know, I keep in shape by chasing young boys.
You know, nowadays the tabloid press is so terrible, and if you're famous at all, you can be victimized. But mm-hmm. But years ago, there were a couple of people like Hedy Lamarr or some of these people who were out there doing gossip. Did you ever get victimized by some of these gossip people, or did they actually help you?
No, I just of course Paramount would control all the publicity, and there were a lot of articles in the paper that I was going with so-and-so or dating so-and-so or whatever, and, you know, I hadn't even met them, but, you know, that's
right.
The way they were doing. But it was nothing...
And they still do that nowadays.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Of course they do, you know, especially MGM.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I was very lucky, and evidently, well, not being mixed up in that life kind of helped me do. You know, stay out of the gossip mills.
Yeah. I mean, I look at these pictures of you, especially your legs are very pronounced, your beautiful legs.
Oh.
I assume that they kept trying to accentuate them whenever they could.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, when you're under contract to Paramount, you do a lot of leg art, so to speak, and they send those pictures out, well, like during the war, to all the kids overseas and whatever. And it's just part of their business, you know, to do that. And they'd call and say, okay, you know, be ready tomorrow or the next day to view, and a couple of the other gals will be going, whatever, to do leg art and publicity with garments, you know, about dress concern and the company. And so that's how it was, and that's why so many of the pictures, in fact, a lot of those are on eBay now. And it just drives me up a wall. But you know, it's all right. But some of them were, not naughty. But I mean, nothing I would do now, of course. But
well, I don't think any of these are naughty. They're some of them are sexy, but they're not naughty.
Right.
Especially compared to the fact that almost every actress out there today has nudes of them all over the place.
Exactly right.
And there's none of those of you around, so.
No, they aren't.
There's a great book out there, folks. If you're a fan of the Superman series and a fan of Noel Neal, there's a book called Truth, Justice, and the American Way, The Life and Times of Noel Neal, the original Lois Lane. It is fantastic. It's a great book. It's from Nicholas Lawrence Books, and it's only $24.95. It's a table-sized book, and that can be available at all the Amazon.com and all the local mm-hmm. bookstores. Do you have your own website at all?
No, I don't, Mark.
You need to get one.
Well, somebody asked me that the other night and said they'd put it out for me, but the best thing, there's a Jim Nolte who did a old little book that he used to put out every month, I think it was, The Adventure Continues, and he has a lot of friends and he still keeps at it, and so he always does my stuff, so on his website, you know, like where I'm going to be
mm-hmm.
at a book selling or a convention or whatever.
And what's his website?
Well, it's, Jim Nolte Taos, I think is the name. I really don't know because I'm not in.
Okay, well, people can do a search engine search.
Oh,
I am going to make a suggestion to you, though, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should get noelneal.com and secure it, and then sell, autograph pictures of yourself. You know,
mm-hmm.
make some money on the side. You know, help that pension out a little bit.
Well, thank you, Mark. That is an idea. I just thought I'm usually, this past 3 or 4 months I've been on the road so much, you know, out and back, and, New Jersey. And
yeah, well, that's even more important if you're on the road to have something on your website telling everybody where you're going to be.
Well, that's what Jim Noel does for me.
But if everybody doesn't know about it, then it doesn't help. So you may want to talk to him about doing something with your own name on it. And especially with the book out now,
mm-hmm.
There's going to be an increased interest in you.
Well, thank you, Mark. That's a very nice idea.
There's a great picture in this book here. I love this book. I adore it because it brings back memories of my childhood, obviously, watching mm-hmm. you, and it's wonderful. There's a great picture in here of you with Alan Hale Jr. in Music Man.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And of course, we all know Alan Hale as the skipper. This is when he was much younger.
Mm-hmm.
And what was he like?
Well, just very nice as I can remember. You know, it's like when the last one of the conventions I was at recently was pretty much a Western thing, and everybody was saying, oh, you know, after we run your movie, would you mind staying and talking to people? I said, sure, fine, you know. And they always say, well, what's the leading man like? And I would, oh, dear. I sometimes didn't even meet them, you know. Women always had, you know, little parts, or maybe you just meet them and do a scene, and then, you know, they'd sign you off, so they don't have to pay you any overtime. But he was very nice, as I remember, and just nice as can be.
Well, and actually, you were in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes with Marilyn Monroe and Jane Russell, but I think wasn't your part cut from
yes,
the film?
The whole thing was cut.
Yeah,
I did a. See, we rehearsed for several weeks there. Let's see, there were two other gals and myself, and we were rehearsing a number for Jane Russell. Was supposed to be in the center of it, naturally, and there was a stand-in for her. And we rehearsed the scenes, and finally, I guess somebody got to her and told her what to do. And she saw completed scene and said, out, no. And the whole thing was cut, and they redid it with Muscle Boys, which she was into in those days.
Yep.
The muscle guy.
And the reason that they cut your scene was because she thought you guys looked better than her.
Yeah, exactly. I finally got a still from that, and I can see why she did.
No, I actually think she's a good-looking woman, but you put her to shame, though.
Well, it was just, yes. It was. And unfortunately, I was standing next to her in a bathing suit outfit with a little cap on, whatever, because it was on a ship, and of course they had a swimming pool on the ship, and then the other girls, one of them was carrying her little dog and whatever, but she just didn't like it, and so I would love to see the scene, because we worked quite a bit on it. It was a cute number on the, going around and up and down on the diving board and whatever. It was kind of neat, but. She wanted to have her muscle boy, so she got him.
Now, when Superman, the Adventures of Superman started, mm-hmm. you were not the first Lois Lane, were you?
Well...
Wasn't Phyllis Coates Lois Lane first?
Yeah.
And I guess...
Silence. My mother always said, if you can't say something nice, keep your mouth shut. No, you see, that one was made after I had done the thing with Kirk Allen.
Yeah.
And he wasn't called, and I wasn't called, and whatever. I didn't care. I didn't even know they were making it until it came out. And then the New York office got rid of the producer and PC, as they call her. And Mr. Ellsworth, the producer, they sent out from New York to take care of the mess and run the rest of the shows, which he did. Mr. Ellsworth was so nice, and he called me and said, hi, Noel, this is Mr. Ellsworth. I said, oh, my gosh, how are you? Fine, we chatted, and he said, would you like to be Lois Lane again? And I said, well, sure, it's work.
Yeah.
And so that's the way it went. So I just moved in and took over and did all the rest of the 70-some shows that I did with him.
Well, many people say that you saved the show. The show would have probably died with Phyllis Coates playing Lois Lane. I guess that there really wasn't much of a sense of humor to her character. She was pretty much a very serious, never smiled.
They were very dark movies, the first 26, and Kellogg started to put in money to the show, and they said they wanted the show done soft, nice, not violent.
Yeah.
And so that's why, everybody else was sort of bailed out or put out or whatever, and they just redid the cast.
What was John Hamilton like?
He was so sweet. Wonderful. He was like a nice little old man, a funny man.
Yeah.
He was so neat to do scenes with. We'd do all the office scenes at the end of the movies, the series, the 13 weeks, and we would... Hey, oh my gosh, what do we do when we walk in? Are we happy? Are we sad? Are we whatever? But we'd come in and he would have all his scripts, his scenes, all over his desk, of course. And we were trying to remember what we were supposed to say. And he would always say something funny and they'd say, okay, cut. Come on, kids, do it again. Okay. but he was a wonderful person. We lost him in 57.
Tell me a little bit about what happened with George Reeve. How did you hear about him passing away?
Well, I had seen George just a couple of days before it happened, and Mr. Ellsworth had called and said, we got 26 more scripts from New York, and we're going in September. I said, wonderful. And he said, well, come on by. We're still at Ziff Studio and see if your old suit still fits you. And I said, okay. So a couple of days later, I went by and walked in the office, and George was sitting there playing gin rummy with George Blair, one of our directors. And he was so happy. He was going to work, and he was going to do a B-movie first, and then we were going to start up the series again.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, happy, fine, and playing cards. And a couple days later, his girlfriend from the beach called and said, hey, do you hear what happened to George? And I thought she was talking about her husband, and I said, no, I haven't heard. We had a strange conversation. Finally, she said, no, I mean George Reeves. I said, well, what happened? And she said, well, he killed himself, which he didn't, of course. But anyway, I called Whit immediately and found out it was true. But it was just a weird thing because they finally, things were different, taken care of in those days. And they didn't want a lot of whatever because of the Kellogg's and the children's show, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so what actually happened to him?
I have no idea. I mean, nobody knows.
Did they think he was murdered?
Well, that's what they have run out the suicide thing. That was not possible.
Mm.
So it has to be a murder.
Hmm.
And, dear George, we're just so, Jack and I often wonder, if he would have enjoyed what we're getting now, all the love from people and doing shows and this and that, but because he was such a nice person, a wonderful person.
Was there any consideration at all to do the show without him and to find someone else?
Well, as Whit said, all the agents in town came in with all the muscle men in town.
Uh-huh.
But New York just didn't want to do it anymore. First, they were going to try to do one with Jack Larson, the Jimmy Olsen thing, and have old takeouts of what George had done in the past. And Jack just said, no, that's too macabre. I won't do it. So he bailed out, went to New York. But anyway, they just figured, well, we've got over 100 shows, which is what you need for syndication.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just go with it.
Now,
they made the last half of them were made in color. But they were first released in black and white.
Right.
And then when everybody got colored sets, then they printed them in color. So they're just, run them and run them and run them and syndicate them. And Ted Turner owned them once, and Hollywood, one of the other stations,
mm-hmm.
owned them in syndication. And now, of course, TV Land owns them. And
right. Now, I don't assume you still get any money from those.
No, we... Mr. Reagan, when he was president of our guild, sold all the residuals of the series in those days, like Gilligan's Island and ours, and all the pre-48 big movies and all the studios, sold the rights to Mr. Wasserman, who died recently, and I read today's paper, in fact, that somebody's bringing out a book on him, because, he died a billionaire, of course, from all this,
mm-hmm.
all these free movies and TVs that he had to sell to everybody. So that's what happened to our residuals. The last Jack and I got were in 65.
Wow.
Very small ones, of course, based on our small salaries.
Yeah, it's amazing if you think about it. I mean, all the money you generated
right.
for all these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and,
Jack and I were in New York once and doing a thing for the National Comics at the Twin Towers, which are no longer there. Anyway, we were having lunch afterwards with everybody from the offices there. And Jack, my gosh, got up and said, you people are making millions of dollars off, which of course they are, and
mm-hmm.
they have been, and still are. And he said, we don't get any consideration, we don't get any help, and blah, 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 which he went on, and I was so surprised because Jack is a very quiet person,
mm-hmm.
so nice, so, never a bad word about anybody, but anybody, he's right, they're...
Wow.
They're, fortunately, that's... Companies that buy us, syndication, buy us, I say. Syndication are very nice if they want us to do anything. They, pass well and whatever, but just no residuals. And I think of these people who do a dumb show like Friends, making $1 million and wanting more. And
that's amazing, isn't it?
God, I mean, just makes.
I mean, well, some of the people on the cast of Superman did some work on the side for Kellogg's, but you weren't one of them.
They did commercials.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you why. They said, okay, we're going to do commercials with Kellogg's. And everybody said, goody-goody, a little extra money. And Jack did his, and then John did his, and George did his. And finally I said, what happened to the kid? When's my turn? And they said, we don't think that a single woman should be sitting at a breakfast table having cereal with a single man.
Oh, my.
So I never got to do a commercial for them.
Isn't that amazing,
and of course,
huh?
Now you look back, it's kind of funny, you know, when you think of what they do nowadays, but that's the way it was then, and
just,
they were very
that's amazing.
Careful.
Now, I assume that you go to some of these shows, they probably have Superman shows and stuff for fans, right?
Well, not really. They have sort of a general... There's so many people that were in the business that are doing these shows, to make some money.
Yeah.
And they sell their photos and whatever. And so it's just a general thing, but I've been very pleased with the reception, and so have the sponsors of the shows, because of the Lois Lane, the Superman series. I just do my own thing.
Right.
And Larry usually goes with me now, because he wrote the book, and we... sell the book and pictures, and everything's fine.
Larry did a nice job. We should give him credit. Larry Thomas Ward wrote this book that went along with the great photos.
He did so much work. He came down and looked through all the stuff that I had. Fortunately, I had some left, and then a mother had passed away, but she saved the scrapbooks, how mommies do, and with all these things, and had them, and they were in a couple of grips down in my carport. So he went through all that stuff, and of course my house was a total mess. I don't know where to put everything now. Put it back. But he did a wonderful job, and he worked hard on it. And
it's a nice book. He must be very proud.
Yes, very, very nice. Everybody seems to love it.
Yeah, it's great. The only thing I can tell you is that I want you to set up a website with your name on it,
so you can
turn around and make some money off this whole thing.
Well, that's a good idea. I'll press it. I don't know why. I guess I'm so. Absolutely nothing about. So I don't know, what to do with it, but I guess I should have one,
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe since you trust Larry, maybe Larry can help you out with that.
Yeah, right. I have friends that have said them.
I'm just looking at this picture that's in the book here of you and Jack with Gerard Christopher from Superboy.
You what?
I'm looking at the picture of you with Superboy, you and Jack.
Oh, yes.
And you look great.
Yeah, we still keep it up.
Yeah, you both look fantastic in that picture.
Well, thank you.
Wow. And there's another picture of both of you last year in Burbank.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Out at the... that was a thing we did for TV Land, because the 66 and whatever was our 50th anniversary of the show and this and that and the other thing.
And they actually paid you for that.
Yes, they did.
See, there you
they
go.
Were very nice, and we had to go to San Bernardino afterwards, and but they paid. They were very nice, and they sent limos for you and everything. And
it's been a real fun time for me, and I'm sure everybody out there. You get out into the store or go online and get Truth, Justice, and the American Way.
Right.
The Life and Times of Noel Neal, the original Lois Lane. It's an authorized biography by Larry Thomas Ward, and it's published by Nicholas Lawrence Books, and it's fantastic. And I can't tell you enough how much I enjoy talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you, Mark, so much, and so much for plugging the book. Bless your heart.
You stay well.
I'll try.
Okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.